Okay, good morning. Sean sends his greetings from California. I guess they had a very exciting, successful event yesterday, so it went really well. They had a huge U-Storm outreach, looks like a big festival. I don't know, some of you have probably seen it on Facebook. Before I get started, there's one thing I wanted to ask. The Urban City Camp is coming up, and I am in need of bicycles. And I can even, if you can just lend them to me even for the week, that would be super cool. I have 1 week of elementary kids and 1 week of teenagers. So the first week it's smaller bikes, the second week it's more adult size-ish type bikes with helmets, like I need the bikes with the helmets. And I also, if anybody has any kayaks that they could lend, we're doing kayaking in the pond. So I need kayaks. Chuck had already volunteered. So I have two, but I could use a couple more. And those are if you have vests that go with them for safety vests. So I just need them for those 2 weeks of camp, and then you can have them back slightly used. So it's the third and fourth week of July. So we're ramping up and we're excited. We just need this because one of the sessions is like doing the rail trail for biking and then doing some kayaking out on our pond. So really exciting. A lot of exciting stuff going on. I'm excited to be here to share this morning. I'm excited to be a part of a team. We have such an amazing team of people, and what God has been speaking to us through Sean and Becca and Dave and Josiah. I just wanted to kind of go over it because I'm building off of some of the things that have been building up, that God's been creating this picture for us of his heart for our community. And Becca a couple weeks ago talked about drinking from the cup. Dave was talking about contentment. Sean and I both, Sean sort of preached the same message I did. But we were talking about the weapons that God's given us. The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but they're mighty in the sense that it's the simple things that God's given us. And that's kind of what I want to build on today, is the simple lifestyle that God's placed before us. And we talked about Paul and his commission to for the administration of the church, and how the power of just doing life well creates a warfare in the heavenlies that pulls down strongholds. And I want to build off of this to give you a greater vision and inspiration for what God's given us, the inheritance he's given us, and the beauty that he wants to release in our midst, that for us to participate and be a part of. Because when the Bible says the weapons of warfare aren't carnal, or some of it says they're not of the flesh, but they're mighty to pulling down mighty fortresses or strongholds. And those weapons that he's given us are the lifestyle, the didache and the kerygma that we talk about in first principles, the first principles of the faith that he's given us, those very simple ways of behaving, of becoming like Jesus. Skillful living is what didache is living wisely and skillful living. That is a weapon for warfare that he's given us. The proclamation of the gospel, the freedom that we have found in Christ over sin in our lives, that is a weapon that has been released to us as a people. And the power of these, of doing them well, they begin to lay the foundation for what God's promised us. And in our community, we've shared our history of starting from a youth movement in New England and believing God, and God gave us this land. But before he gave us the land, he had spoken to us very clearly, and he said, I want to give you land, wealth, and souls. And so that promise that he's given us, he's begun to lay a foundation, but the foundation was laid in this powerful concept of the first principles of the faith. The didache and the kerygma is the very foundation. It's the things that transform our lives and form the foundation, or if he's painting a picture here for us of a community that he's building, the picture, it's the primer that's been laid on the canvas. It's that very peace that the vibrancy and life of Christ sort of is going to be birthed out of, and the picture is going to be formed out of the foundation of living well, of being transformed into the image of Christ. Is everyone tracking with me here? And it's this place of, I love that that it says that his kindness leads us to repentance. It's the nature of God. And David kind of mentioned this, that it's not even, that God's not asking us just to live by the rules of God, but we also have to consider looking like Jesus is emanating his nature, the very nature of who God is. And so as he's been building this in us, and we've looked, and over the last months, we've talked about this sort of building from family unto to the family of families and building out. And so living well, all of a sudden, as we get this right, as we are continued to be transformed, as we allow Christ and his power to saturate our lives and make us live out of our best character, to be better wives, better husbands, better children, all of a sudden we start seeing a transformation of love and unity in the community where everyone's for you. And you find this place of belonging that he's created, that he has built to build a greater picture from. And this greater picture is kind of where I want to talk about today. I don't know for whatever reason, but recently I've been doing, I watched the story of Gladys Aylward with Wesley Wells, because when I was in Haiti, I was like, oh my gosh, like, you remind me of Gladys Aylward. Because everyone loves her, and Gladys was named the one who loves. She went to China. So in studying that, Eric Little, the guy from Chariots of Fire, was also in China at that same time, which I just realized, and I was like, oh, well, this is cool, so I'm doing this little thing. But there's this quote that I want to read, because it brings to mind some of the things that, questions that have been asked of me. But Eric Little, when for those of you who don't know him, he's the guy that won the Olympic gold medal for running, but he wouldn't run on Sunday. Chariots of Fire, great movie. Okay. But his sister confronts him. This is what he says in his book. It says, she confronts him with this duty as a missionary for Christ in China, admonishing him and scolding him for his frivolous participation in the pagan Olympic Games in Paris. And he says, yes, of course, I'm indeed a missionary, but God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. And when I read that, I was like, it reminded me of some of the conversations that I've had lately. Because as God's given us this land, and he's invited us in this place of community, and we talk about all the time that we're doing the festivals, hospitality, we've talked about the kindness of God, and welcoming people to a table, and starting to have, compelling each one of us to start having dinners together and stuff, to that we can create an inviting place and emanate the life of Christ, that Jesus has used the table, setting a feast table before people to invite them in and to bring down. But as I've been talking about these things, people are still asking questions, like, for instance, the sheep. Why sheep? And I get this question asked to me all the time, or the sheep have been getting out, so people are like, you know, whose sheep are these? What's going on? And so when I read this, I thought, you know, it reminds me of what I've been answering, because it's like, what are we involving ourselves in the frivolousness of agriculture and building fences when, you know, we should be out, what, preaching the gospel, right? And so when Eric Little, when he answered, he said, when I run, I feel the pleasure of God. I want to introduce the concept that God wants us to sense his pleasure, and he wants us to participate in his beauty. And so let's go to Genesis, because I want to talk about who God is as a builder. And one of the things that Sean is he's a builder. He's a visionary. He sees things. He designed the sanctuary. And there's this place in God that he is a builder and a maker, and there's a place in us that is always restless until we can become like him. until we can begin to, when it talks about emanating the nature of God, it's not only his nature and his character of emotion, but it's also his nature in creating beauty for the world. And so when we talked about that concept of hospitality, it was creating opportunities for the gospel through kindness and a welcoming table. It's having these festivals that welcome people in and create the opportunity to experience God. But in the same way, there's a demand on us when God said, I'm going to give you land. There is a demand on us to steward land and to build a community of faith within it. And the community of faith is not one that is just for us alone, because we've fought this battle, especially like when we did the bingo, when we inherited the bingo hall. People were like, well, why do they have the hall like three times a week? You know, like we can't even use it. And it's like, I said, well, did you think God gave us a castle on a hill for ourselves? Or did he give it to us to open it up to the world, to allow them to come in and to see his beauty, to invite them into kindness and to love, and to experience the very nature of God, and us as people becoming like him, building a community, being the architect of something, partnering with him. And in the same way, he's given us this beautiful property here in the middle. We're 30 miles outside of Boston. It's crazy. I'm always like going, God, this is just so crazy, because anybody, I've heard people looking for land for years, and even when we were looking for land, we were thinking, we were dreaming big, looking for 10 or 20 acres. And God gives us 100 almost. We have 98 acres. And we're right outside, I mean, where we're located, like we're right in the center of people. So it's not even like he gave us land like way out in Timbuktu. I mean, he placed us in this place, and there's responsibility to represent him well. And in that, when we look at Genesis and we see the creation, we see, first of all, there's a pleasure of God in making and creating. He desired to make creation. And he took this place of chaos, and he began to speak, and it talks about the stars singing. And as you read through Genesis 1, there's this magnificent picture of this just beautiful, you can just see the beauty of God developed in this place. And then he has Eden, and he creates mankind in his image. And let's go to... Okay, I'm in Genesis 1. Let's go to 27. It says, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over everything that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant. And it was so. And God saw that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, and there was the sixth day. Okay, well, first of all, I just want to mention, when we're going through this, the first thing I want you to see, when he said it was good, there's this delight. He's going, I've made all this, and it's good. And so in the same way, God's given us this land, and he said, this is good, and I've given it to you as a community. He has seen something in us and given us the privilege of stewarding something for the region. This isn't for us. It's to express who he is. And so when we look at some of what almost can seem frivolous, because as Western Christians, we've compartmentalized, and if we're not preaching the gospel, then we don't feel like we're doing enough. So if we're not, and yet the gospel is not about, it's about living like Jesus. It's like being like Jesus. There's something so much richer and deeper. And that's what I said when he formed the foundation and he's planted a foundation here in our midst. It's a foundation of living like Jesus. And sure, we have ways to go. We're not perfect as a community, but we're grabbing a hold of the vision of becoming like him. We're grabbing hold of being a transformational community, that we're allowing ourselves even continually to be transformed into the image of Christ. And that being the foundation, then he says, now build something for the generations. build something that's going to last beyond who you are, that's going to declare my glory. And he said, and I've given you a resource to start. And he gave us 98 acres of land. And he's saying, now build me something that's beautiful. And so we got sheep. Next week, we're getting Icelandic chickens. They have the same heritage as our sheep, which I find very comical. But the reason we like the Icelandics is because they're all rugged animals. They're very hardy because they're Viking. They really are. I mean, when you read about them, I'm saying there's this hardiness about them, this Viking, like, you know? So I'm hoping that it's going to give the chickens a little edge on all the predators. They're a little Viking. BA attitude, they're going to be walking around. Okay. Okay, so, and then it says, if we go into chapter 2, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their host. And by the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day, and from all his work, which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which he had created and made. And so there's a couple of things I want you to see in here as we're talking about this, because one of the things is when we're talking about building this place of beauty, and God's given us this canvas, and he's saying, now build for me. It's a daunting task, and I think some people, you know, many people here today have experienced that. We're looking at all the work that we're doing and that we've done for many years, and sometimes you're just like, this is tiring. This is really hard. And so there's a couple of things. First of all, we need to remember that there's joy in the journey. And Becky had talked some about this, about drinking from that cup and experiencing the joy that's set before us, but I want you to get a picture of the beauty and the privilege of what God's given us, and to inspire you to remember that the burden is light, that though it's a big task, that we're supernaturally empowered to accomplish it. And if you're feeling heavy, if you're feeling the weight of it, you need to step back and say, let's have a little fun here. And so there's this place where God built and he did all the work and then he rested. And there's rhythms that he's given to us that he's asking us as a community to participate in the rhythms of heaven, so that we work hard, but then we come to a place of rest. And this rest that God had, there's always government and rulership attached to it. Like I said, the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. They're mighty. And so these places of building and these places of demonstrating Christ-likeness, they're a powerful weapon of warfare that's displacing the kingdom of darkness. And so even when he built the earth and he put man in it, he said, now rule over it. There is this governorship and this rulership. And then when it says God rested, right above, he gave the rulership, he said, rule over what I've given you. And then he sits on his throne, and there's sort of this feeling of him sitting, the kabod of God sitting over his enemies, resting in a place, and understanding that he is the creator of all things, and he sat and he rested with his enemies under his feet. With no cares and worries, he sat rejoicing, just resting over what he had done. And in the same way, God is calling us to remember His nature as we begin to build, but then take times of rest, knowing that we can hope that in God and in the transformation he's given us and the power he's given us over our enemies, that this isn't a work that we're doing by the labor of our own hands and our own arms and our own strength, but it's a labor that God's given us with supernatural empowerment to do it if we'll take the time to walk in his rhythms and in what he's called us to do, in working hard, in resting, in celebrating with one another, and becoming like Jesus, and the energy and the beauty and the transformation of belonging, just as we become more community, as we learn to love one another better. Even that begins to demonstrate, and it gives us a place of, it energizes us. It's like all of a sudden, when you find this place of acceptance and belonging in Christ, and then you experience on a corporate level, there's this place that there's a wonder to it. And all of a sudden, and I was telling some, well, I tell every time I get up here, I say that I love preaching to you guys because I'm loved. And I'm not up here thinking, oh my gosh, what are they going to think? I'm well loved by the community. And so I can just bring my gift to the community. And each of you have a gift that God wants to bring to the community. All of you aren't going to be out working with the sheep. And some of you are very glad about that. All of you aren't going to be building fences. Some of you are really glad about that. But to build a community, it takes a lot of people. And in my homeschooling efforts, I don't know how well they are, but we were studying about castles and villages, people building these villages. In medieval history, you study about, and it took about 3,000 people to build a village. And in that, I just wanted to, when I was thinking about this, they listed some, they needed quarriers, stonemasons, mortar makers, carpenters, blacksmiths, plumbers, diggers, various laborers and stuff. And they each would have somebody that was trained, and they would be training someone underneath them. And so in the same way that when God's called us to this daunting task that seems from the natural eye, he supernaturally empowered us with this sense of community, this sense of belonging, living out the Didache and Kerygma together as a family of families. And in doing that, he's given each one of us a gift to bring to the table. And so my question is what is your gift that you're bringing to build this beautiful masterpiece for God? And as we're building, we're not building for ourselves. I read this article. This is an article on art, but I found this particularly. Just when I was studying, I really liked some of the things this guy said. So this is a Bruce Herman from Gordon Conwell. I don't know. But it says, he wrote an article about art, and he's talking about God being a maker and that we're not satisfied until we become like him and become makers ourselves of something. And it says, to glorify the maker, we must become makers. The kind of makers we are to become involves echoing God's own character in our creative process. Isn't that beautiful? And so this is what I'm talking about, is that God has given us something to make as a community, not for ourselves. And then listen to this. It says, it is in our very capacity to make works that outlive us, works that seem to exist independently of their author's interpretive grid, that we most echo our maker. The element of risk and sacrifice is also at the core of that resemblance to our God. In a very real sense, the Lord engaged in a cosmic risk by creating human beings. The possibility that we might rebel and refuse God's love was there from the beginning, and that very capacity of the created thing to resist its creator is what eventually calls forth sacrifice. And so I began to think about this as being a community builder, and that we're imitating God, and that there's a place of risk in it. There's a place of sacrifice. I've been here because we had the issue with the sheep getting out. Jen and I have been here every day since Tuesday, building the fence. But so there's this place of sacrifice, but also when you're dealing with people, there's a place of risk of giving your life into something. But the beauty of giving it into something that's going to outlast you and that's going to be for the generations, that we're building a home. And it's not, I know we like to separate and say, well, God's in our hearts and the church is about people. It's true. It is about people. But he's also given us things to create of beauty, to express who he is. And even yesterday was the opening day for the community garden, and it was so beautiful. They were so blessed. We did, I built a fence. I don't know if you guys saw the fence. You have to go look at it. It's beautiful. I was so excited. I was out Mount Vernon, and I saw these fences that George Washington had on his land, and I was like, those are so cool. And I was like, we are going to do that. And it was literally, he just took, like, trees that were cut up and just laid them on top of each other, and they're gorgeous. And so I saw on Craigslist, like, this free sawmilled leftovers, and I was like, we're going to go get those. We're going to build our wall with them. So I did, and they were sitting there, and I know some people saw them, because my mom was like, "What? Who put the wood in the yard? It's like, where did this wood go?" And I'm like, that's my fence. And so the last 2 days, I built this fence, and it's beautiful. But this is what I'm saying, is God takes pleasure in building these beautiful things, but it wasn't just God. The people of Wyndham that came, they came and they were like, oh, this is so nice. And there was such an excitement of coming back together. It's been a whole season that we've not seen each other. And now we're back together and we're planting stuff. And I have people, they're doing bees. These are people from the town. They're doing bees for us and honey. And they're planting a wildflower garden. They did all of that yesterday. And I got this text last night that said, it's been a good day. Everything's planted. And these are people from the community, and this is an opportunity that has been created to demonstrate the kindness and beauty of God, to open up opportunities of fellowship and relationship, inviting people in to the beauty that we've experienced ourselves as community. And so there's something so much greater that I want you to get the picture that you're a part of something, that if you've come in and God's called you a part of this family, that he's giving you an inheritance, and he's saying to you, what is your part? And your part shouldn't be heavy and daunting, and if it is, then you have to step back and remember the joy that God's given you and the strength he's given you to do your job and make sure that you're doing your job. But each person has a part, and we all have something to give into building this community together, that we become together a people of community builders. And as we do it, we invite the world in, and now they're participating with us and working alongside of us. And I find this incredibly exciting because this is just the beginning. We have orchards and vineyards we're going to plant. We have fiber arts that we're going to raise. So I'm looking for somebody that's interested in fiber because we have all this fiber from all these animals. We went to a sheep and wool festival, and it was really cool, all the fiber stuff. I'm like, this is so cool. I need somebody that really loves this. But again, what is the purpose of that? It's inviting people in to participate with us, to come and enjoy at our table fellowshipping with us and giving us opportunity to let them see the beauty of Christ. And even when people came, and this is why I'm saying it's more than just, it's a part of Jesus is within the community, but he's also within what he gives us as land. And there's a presence that dwells, that we are creating a kabod for God. And when people came, they were like, this is so beautiful. And I don't know if Bob's here this morning, but he was like, this is my sanctuary, Stephanie. He goes, when I sit here, I just sense God. And he works with the pumpkins now, so he's out there every day. But, I mean, these people came and they were just like, this is amazing. And there is a presence and a peace and a beauty that God's creating a well, not with just people. And though that is the foundation, and that's why I said that is the very foundation of what he's building on the picture. The primer of the picture has been painted with us and who we are as a community and how we live well in our homes with our children and with our church family. Those are the weapons of our warfare that begin to create and displace darkness. And we break down the things that the enemy has broken. And we're building up the desolation of many generations. And we're seeing the beauty of God come forth. And now it's going to build this beautiful picture of community that the world gets invited into. And they get to experience and taste the beauty of Jesus. Isn't this cool? Come on, I was just like, I've been pondering over this concept of beauty because I know that God wants us to see it in a big way so that we're not overwhelmed with what's in front of us and the tasks that are set before us, that we see something greater, that we are part of something that is greater than ourselves, that's going to outlive ourselves. And when I was FaceTiming Sean, I was showing him the fences that we did. And you know, it's exciting because Jen and I worked hard on the fences, but we're so appreciative of some of the raw masculinity that came to help, because we needed the strength. And I'm so thankful for Bob Langloy came, Rob Ballou, Jared Williams, and Mike, I don't know his last name, but they came and they helped us. But as I'm showing them, I was because they were like, oh, those are fun, or you know, like in the background, people were making these comments, and I said, no, these are for the generations. That we need to remember that what we're building isn't for us right now, but we're building something for God that's going to last beyond even who we are. It's going to go for our children, and we're going to build a community of faith that this region can taste of the beauty of God, Christ, in us. who we are, begins, we create a place to express it. Just like you create your home to be an expression of Christ, we create safe places for people to come out of the chaos of the world and to experience the peace and the beauty. And peace is worth a lot these days. I mean, come on. The world is in mass chaos on every side. All the systems are grinding to a halt, and there's this place of just walking out. You see it. You see the dichotomy of people's hearts, and it's just there's so much chaos going on. And within that, God is saying, "Create for me a place of beauty," just like He called out of chaos order and beauty. That is what He's called us to do, is to be makers and builders of community. So in closing, everybody loves it when I preach because we get out of here really early. I'm wanting you guys to be challenged by this, because as we've been building, there's all these little wrenches in the system that God's trying to build. And it is this place of living like Christ that we learn to die to ourselves and embrace the risk. When it talks about the risk and sacrifice of building and becoming a maker, there's risks and sacrifice. I mean, with people, you're always going to get hurt. But God is asking us to take the risk to jump into this place of community, to see what He's building, and to look at our own hearts and say, God, what is stopping me? What is hindering me from partaking fully? Is it my individualism? Is it my independence? Is it offense from the past? Is it hurt? Somebody's hurt me and I can't find courage to love again or trust again. What is it that is keeping me from fully giving myself? Because one of the things it talks about being an artist or a creator or a maker, there's this risk, but there's this having to give yourself wholly into the process. To really create what God wants, we have to give ourselves wholly into this process. We need to begin to embrace His cross fully and wholly. And in that, allow it to change those places of brokenness in us, the things that would put little things within our picture that we don't want. And we're allowing God to paint this picture with us and using our lives to be a part of it as community. But it's our responsibility to look within our own hearts and to say, Jesus, give me courage to look at my own heart with You. And to find those places that would hinder this picture and this beauty that You're wanting to create in my life. Because it's fully Him. And it's our hope fully in Him and what He's done on the cross. You know, today we're going to take communion. And, you know, I want you to look at your life and say, how many of you think that you're a good person? Because when we partake of communion, it's not about us being good. It's about us celebrating that because we're not, Jesus has made a way for us to be. And that outside of Him, that we're not good. That it's only Him, and He is the only reason that we can claim any goodness in our lives. He's the one that's come and covered our sin and washed us and brought us into this place of peace. By His body and by His blood, He has redeemed us and brought us into this story and into this picture of community building and making. And none of us are good enough. None of us are good, worthy enough. It is simply the graciousness of Jesus, of our God, who through His kindness came and redeemed us. And has made us able, if we have courage, to step into this place, to really taste of the beauty of the cross, to taste of what it feels like to be completely set free, to taste of what it feels like to have our sin washed and stand before our Father in heaven and know that He fully embraces us. And not only does He embrace us, He's decided to use our lives if we'll allow Him. And He wants to use us and paint this beautiful picture. And He's saying, I've got it. It's all going to work out. It's going to be okay. Because I'm the one that's building, and I sit on my throne, and I laugh, and my enemies are my footstools. And because of that, your enemies are your footstools. Because we've walked into this place of the cross. And through that alone, we are able to claim that we stand above the enemy. And so today, as I inspired you, hopefully, to desire to be a part of this, that you'll come and you'll partake of communion and you'll remember that, Jesus, it's because of you that I can enter into this beauty, that I can make something, you can make something beautiful out of my life if I'll surrender to you. And it doesn't matter what we've done and how we've messed it up. We share this all the time. I said, we could have messed up building community. We would have. We've all made our mistakes. But it's because of him that you get to partake of this. So it is super exciting that he has offered us something so awesome and so beautiful. And what an opportunity if we'll take hold of it and see that it's not Sean and Stephanie's opportunity. It's our opportunity as a family of families, as the Crossing Life Church together that he's given us. And he's saying, will you build for me? Because we can't do it. We need each gifting. The diggers and the laborers, we need the plumbers and the masoners, and we need all of those people. We need the giftings that God's given you, the administrators. And so today I just welcome you to come. Should we do communion now? I don't know. I'm asking somebody. Open the altars, or if we should. So we're going to do it together. So as we've been talking about that Jesus, when he came, he had the Last Supper, which is kind of what we represent when we do communion. And he took the bread and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." This is my blood, which was spilled for the remission of your sin. And it's because of this that we get to experience this beauty. And the brokenness of sin that came in through Adam, he's, as the second Adam, has come and given his life to fully set us free. And so today, as a community, we're going to, again, remember this. And as you come up, I just want you to really remember that, God, you've made me able. That it's because of you that I can risk being a part of your community and a part of your church and your bride. And every weight that so easily besets you, I ask that you would just cast it off. We're going to have prayer people. If the prayer team could please come up first and take communion so that they'll be available. To pray for you. And so after they finish, if you guys want to just come up and let's take communion together as a community.